We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So they understand it. A rebound off a goalie of any type and it hits Dominic's goal glove, that doesn't cause a change of possession. That's still the puck of the attacking player to play. We can have a case where a player comes down, would make a deke. See, he's played this puck. There's a rebound off the goalie. The puck comes to him. He plays it ahead with his foot. That's his puck. It's his puck to shoot and score. It's similar to coming down and making a deke. You can have possession and control of the puck as long as you're deemed to be in possession and control of the puck. Have a deke and then have the puck win the net. Even though it gives the appearance your foot is in there first, that's a perfectly legal goal.
As Brian Lewis from 20 years ago, then the supervisor of officials, explaining why the league felt Brett Hull's goal counted in game six.
It was a very, very bad thing to happen to Buffalo sports. But don't you feel like it was worth it for hockey to have, in that moment, fixed all of its replay and controversy issues? I mean, finally, we put them all to bed and realized we would never again have such a terrible officiating error.
Do you wake up snarky or do you become snarky over the course of the morning?
Morning. Definitely over the morning. Or
is it?
Yeah.
If you did the afternoon show, imagine how snarky you'd
no,
be.
No, it fades. After
oh,
the show,
no kidding. It doesn't
after the show, it's gone.
Oh, I thought it would build up over the course of the day.
If I ever feel it late in the day, I'll save it, make a note to myself.
Yeah, use it the next morning.
Yeah, I don't want to waste it on the...
So you go to bed snarky?
No.
Okay, because I always told you should never go to bed snarky.
No, I write it down, and then I revisit it,
uh-huh.
And I pull it up.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's a good thing they've worked out all the kinks. Everything's perfect.
Check my deleted...
They never have any controversy in playoff goals anymore.
My tweet drafts, nice if I've got that. Any snark in there. No. Oh, I do have a snark save that I didn't use. No. It's not good enough.
No.
Doesn't make the cut.
I didn't know if Brayton was strong enough to put the cannon back once you start wheeling it out.
There's a conversation from the weekend about Anthony Davis, and it just the moment has passed.
Your headlines, the Sabres, rumors, Rasmus Ristolainen. Pierre LeBrun from TSN reporting the Sabres are once again talking to Tampa about Rasmus Ristolainen, that the Lightning are not the only team interested. There are others interested in Ristolainen, who LeBrun says after the trade of Jacob Trouba could be the top trade target out there for right-handed shooting defensemen. The Sabres have released their preseason schedule, 6 games. We've got the schedule at WGR550.com. The Flyers have agreed to terms with Kevin Hayes. He was going to be an unrestricted free agent. They traded for his rights a couple weeks ago. 7 years, $50 million there. NHL awards are tonight. Rasmus Dahlin is a finalist for the Calder Trophy. At the awards press conference yesterday, Joe Thornton says he expects to be back with the Sharks again next season. Said he feels great. He could play another 5 or 10 years. And he said, I got nothing else going on. Why not? The Sharks traded defenseman Justin Braun to Philadelphia for 2 picks in this year's draft. Twins beat Boston. That game went 17 innings. The Yanks beat Tampa. Jays lost to the Angels. The Mets topped the Braves. The Bisons lost to Indy. They're home tonight, 7:05. It is Wings night at the ballpark tonight and Dog Day at the ballpark. David Ortiz's condition has been upgraded to good. And there's a report that Kawhi Leonard is focusing in on the L.A. Clippers as his next destination. Your headlines brought to you by Smith Boys Marine Sales, your number one source for boating in Western New York.
I have 2 questions on why is this guy still here? One with the football team and one with the hockey team.
Okay.
Who you want first? Because we're going to get to hockey with Nick Kiprios at 8:30. You want the football discussion first or the hockey discussion first?
Hey, man,
first?
I'm flexible. What do you want to do first? Doesn't matter to me. We're covering both.
I'm trying to decide which one's the better conversation.
Okay.
One's a talented player. The other one, the quick one.
Okay.
Why has Vladimir Sobotka not been bought out yet?
No freaking idea. Seems like a no-brainer.
You try and trade him for a 6th?
Who is trading for him?
Why has he not been bought out?
I wouldn't give up a bag of hockey pucks for him.
Okay. Conversation over.
No, seriously. It really is a no-brainer. Like, you can talk about, someone might bring up Scandella. But you might say, well, maybe you can get a 6th. get something for a defenseman in the NHL who's got one. It's only 1 year of term. It's $4 million. It's not a huge contract. The guy can still play. So you wouldn't buy out Scandella. Maybe Botchwell can get something.
Sure, I would think he can.
There is no one in this league that is giving up anything for Vladimir Sobotka.
And just doing it, just announcing that they've bought out Sobotka, we're in the buyout window.
Yep. Till June 30th, right?
It would be the smallest move. It would be very easy, and it would be at least a little bit of, hey, the GM's on the job. Here comes your surgery. This is cleaning off the area before they make the incision. You know?
This is the easy part.
Yeah. Don't even worry about this one.
And if you look at it, like if someone brings up the idea of, guys, if we're going to buy out anybody, it's a Poso. It's 8 years of cap hits. You know, it's like 5, 4, 3, 3, and then lower figures in the back end. But it's 8 years. Sobotka, he's got 1 year left. It's a 3-5 cap. If you buy him out, you save $2 million on the cap. And next year, you know what the cap it is for Vladimir Sobotka for a second year? $1 million. That is not screwing your cap up. I don't get it. So thank you for bringing it up. I tweeted it out earlier this week. I have no idea why he's still on the roster.
Okay. One potential suggestion.
Go ahead. Lay it out.
Right away sent to me. You waive him instead. He refuses to report.
Okay.
He goes to the KHL.
Yeah.
And his cap hit is not on your books because he refuses to report.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about KHL somewhere in Europe. Like convince someone, does someone in Europe want Sobotka to play and he doesn't mind going there?
So that's it.
Okay.
Another text says Sobotka is a defensive stud who was misused.
Ah!
He was used specifically defensively and he was terrible at it and he's not good.
He wasn't so good
offensively. So you waive him, you let him not report, and he comes off your books.
Okay.
There's your answer.
Fine, and you clear your 3-5.
Second question. Now we'll switch to the football one. Why is LeSean McCoy still here? I'm looking at a ranking.
It's a little tougher to answer.
NFL.com, Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yes.
Former NFL running back.
Yes, sir.
MJD.
Yeah.
He now writes for NFL.com. He ranked all RB1s.
Uh-huh.
1 through 32. Every team's top running back, where they rank. And LeSean McCoy comes in at number 22. But he comes in at what? Number 1? Number 2 in salary? Let me pull that. It's got to be Le'Veon Bell and
six-ish.
McCoy. He's way up there in salary. So you have a very highly paid player that's... I don't know. Are we sleeping on McCoy here? Are we at a point where we shouldn't be sleeping on him because he's still mega talented? The Bills have the number one cap allocation to running backs of any team in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm.
So why is McCoy still here? They drafted a guy. They signed two free agents.
They like him.
You're probably not getting your return on the investment there.
Nope.
Why is he still here?
Well, you haven't been getting your return. They like him. They don't need him for veteran presence in the room.
Frank Gore's here. His cap hit is $9 million.
Oh, it's nine. It was six. You know, it's six and a half if they cut him. That's the cap savings, I think.
They save six? Or they
six,
would...
and a, six, six and a half, I think, is what they save. Because there'd be some dead money.
He's here because they're expecting him to be a big part of their offense is the only real answer.
Well, you know, I'm not sure how big a season I'm expecting from LeSean McCoy.
I can't figure out what to think because he was supposed to be past the age window when he showed up, and he's been pretty good.
He was good when he first got here,
yeah,
sure.
When he had room to run. And last year, you know, everything's just kind of a wash because the offense was, you know, you had a rookie quarterback. The other quarterbacks you had were even worse.
That could be part of the explanation, by the way. They still don't think his skills have eroded.
They just
to
think
that
he
point,
was...
they think he was in a ridiculously bad offense with an offensive line that couldn't open holes for anybody except, well, Josh Allen running was the best part of their ground game. I think they still like him. I think they must still feel he's got value to the team. And I'm guessing they feel his numbers will get better this year because of the changes they've made on the offensive line, that the offense will be better, the blocking will be better, and LeSean McCoy will be more productive. I mean, it'd be hard not to. He's coming off a career worst year. So maybe they feel his numbers will be better. And they don't have to get rid of the contract. It didn't hamstring them in terms of the cap and all the signings. He only has 1 year left, so no matter what, they can just walk away from him next year, so the cap will not be a problem with them in 2020. And maybe you just add all that stuff up and say, let's see if the guy bounces back. If he doesn't, they can still cut him by opening day and save the cap space for next year. It'd be a post June 1 cut. So yeah, you could still cut him if he's not good, but maybe they just want to see how does he look in camp. And you know what? If he's still good and we fix the offense and that's why he's better, then you've got LeSean McCoy being productive in 2019 for you. They don't have to cut him. I mean, it's not like it's killing him.
No, the thing I end up wondering...
And if you were to trade him, I'm sorry, but if you were to trade him, what are you getting for him? What value is he going to have on the market? You're not going to get a... What are you going to get? A fourth-round pick?
Who knows?
Fifth-round pick?
Maybe you come to that point. No, the thing I wonder is... You can flag this, throw a challenge flag, as this is a stupid question.
Like
this is a stupid
flag.
Question
or
a stupid connection or whatever. But because one of the things you'll say about McCoy is, you know, you've got the cap room. You don't have to worry about it.
Sure, the contract isn't preventing you, did not prevent you from
but
doing
it. But if you were to cut him, you would save actual dollars,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, you'd save cash. Right? His contract wouldn't be guaranteed this year, would it, right?
Because what I want to know is if you would save actual dollars, why wouldn't you just save the actual dollars? You're not doing it because you're cheap.
Right.
You're doing it because you're saying, I mean, I don't have to pay a guy $9 million for production that's not there.
That's not his base. That's his cap number.
Right.
You'd be paying him a little over $6 million in cash for his salary this year.
Okay. So you could save $6 million, mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. I'm kind of – when one ownership group owns both teams – and, you know, in one case, Ryan O'Reilly was traded to save $7 million,
mm-hmm.
Right? He was moved before he was due a bonus.
Yeah, bonus, right.
And part of the reason that they may have been kind of taken in the trade is because they had to convince the Blues to pay the $7 million bonus. Here I've got a football team, same people on the team, and it's, well, we have to worry about that. You know, I guess they're two separate entities. I totally get that, but I don't know. If I owned two teams and one of them made a ton of money, so much I couldn't spend it all on the players, I might be like, oh, I just tossed that $6 million over to the Sabres.
You'd save $6 million, right.
And I'll pay that $7.5 million bonus by cutting LeSean McCoy. And I know, like, that's where it gets really – you're not exactly going to have Brandon Beane and Jason Botchell working together, but
Botchell sitting there talking about, hey, listen, I'm going to sign Duchesne. We could use a little extra money. Could you cut McCoy
You know, you're writing checks. If the Sabres were, let's say the Sabres were to sign Matt Duchesne and he wants $40 million up front.
Yeah. Where do I find it?
Well, I mean, it's I'm not trying to be cute here.
No,
there's a little bit of an extension of, you know, when Terry Pegula first bought the Sabres, he said, I'll drill another gas well. One other thing you could do is, you know, I'll cut a running back. I could save.
Do they even think that way? Would they operate as separate entities for their two franchises?
The answer is I would think definitely yes, separate entities.
Yeah.
And no, they wouldn't think that way.
Yeah.
Maybe they would. I don't know. It's something that occurred to me where if you don't have to pay a player, I'm not suggesting cutting McCoy because you want to save the money because you're cheap. It's just on return on investment, he's a $9 million cap hit,
and we're
not even talking about a guy that's – but then again, I want to include, it's very possible that he does still have it.
That's why I
think
–
and they want to see it.
That's why I think my question to you, if your question is going to be why – and most fans would say the same thing, why is McCoy still here? My question to you would be, why would you cut him now? What's the point? If you were going to do this – you would have done it earlier in the offseason. You would have opened up the extra $6 million in cap space, which, of course, you still have cap space anyway. You would have tried to see if there's any value in trading LeSean McCoy to get another pick in the 2019 draft or a 2020 pick. I just don't know why you would do it now. If you've waited this long and you still have McCoy on the roster, why would you make a move now? The move you would make would be you'd go to camp, you'd watch him in practice, and you'd say, oh my goodness, he's really lost this. He's done.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't have the legs anymore. Now you figure out, is anybody going to trade for him? Do we just cut him? But at this point, there's just no reason to move on from him unless he gives you a reason.
I just think it's funny. when I make this comparison about, you know, you do own the two teams. For instance, if I get a discount on my car insurance, I think, like, oh, that's $300 I can spend somewhere else.
Where does it go? Right.
I'm immediately.
Sure. Of course, like, you do. Yeah.
I can oh man, I can call and I got a promo.
Oh, you kidding
and
me?
They're giving me 10% off my such and such bill this month. All right, $40. Not that that's how much it is. Where am I spending that? I'm gonna put that towards adding this.
When you get the escrow refund check and you realize, oh look, found money.
Right.
Hey, where do you want to go this weekend? I mean, what do you want to do? What do you want to buy? Like, here, you know, it's money you didn't expect to have. Yeah. Now you have it.
Yeah, so while your two things aren't related, if you're operating a big, huge budget, I mean, when they were talking about firing Phil Housley, one of the conversations was, boy, you just keep paying money to coaches that are going to get fired. All right, well, I mean, I could free up $6 million in a running back mm-hmm. that I do. Yeah. It is also a dangerous thing because it's not like I'm saying I want them to fund the Sabres with the Bills or vice versa. Yeah. It's just, for budgeting dollars, that's on the lower
sure.
end.
It's almost as if it's like PSE doesn't have two separate entities. They just have one column that says sports franchises, and everything's in there.
Well, they could if they wanted to, which I would—
Or a 1A, 1B.
I would guess that they don't.
Yeah, I would assume they're operated as separate entities.
Tom writes in, you cut McCoy, New England picks him up, he finds his old form and the Bills, and kills the Bills twice a year and helps win the Super Bowl.
Oh, Ryan O'Reilly?
Tom, I got a question for you. In what world is a scare tactic of the Patriots winning the Super Bowl scary?
Yeah.
They do it every year anyway.
When was the last time they won a Super Bowl?
Last year.
Oh, yeah, okay, right. Got it, right. Sure, I remember, with Gilmore.
Wait, you're trying to scare me by telling me the team that always beats the Bills is going to beat the Bills?
And they've already won the trophy with former
Bills.
They
drafted a first-round running back last year.
Yeah.
They're going to – of all the teams that would scare me about picking up McCoy, who would scare me?
There isn't a single team in the league I'd be scared about. I'm not sure how much he's got left. There's nobody I'd be scared. This is not a Ryan O'Reilly discussion. Ryan O'Reilly still had plenty of productive hockey left. I don't know how much McCoy has left at this point. I would tell you, and one of the other things I would tell you in this discussion of why is he here and why wouldn't you move on from him, I guess you could always bring this up in the discussion, and is McCoy's presence detrimental because, you know, could Yeldon be cut, or is Singletary not going to get reps or carries or the role that maybe he should get because McCoy is here? Is his presence, if he's performing at a substandard level and he's here, does his presence take away from a better option? I think that's a fair enough discussion to have, but again, that's not going to play out until we get to the preseason. You know, that's a good enough point to make that maybe there are other guys who could be more productive, but they're staying with McCoy because they believe in LeSean McCoy.
Yeah. To me, that is one of the more interesting things of this year. You know, if we get past Allen, which it's all about, let's see the step he takes.
Yep.
Maybe the second biggest question, well, maybe that's the receiving core. Do they have
offensive
answers
line there?
Okay, the line too.
I think the line's a big, big question. It's not fun to talk about, but it's a big question.
But you say question, you mean how good is it going to be?
Yeah, like who's starting?
Oh, well, I don't really care who the five are. I expect it to be good.
Who's starting and are they good? I mean, the offensive line was what this team did in the offseason.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe I'm wrong in expecting it to be good, but when you sink that much into it, I kind of have an expectation of not thinking about the line
this
year.
See, I don't. Oh, I am completely thinking about the line.
I am not thinking about the line at all. You know, all these conversations about they don't address the line, they don't address the line. They addressed it in a very, very big way.
Doesn't mean it's going to be better.
Doesn't, but I'm not even thinking about it.
Oh, I can't
If it's not good, it's a, I don't know the word, it's not a travesty, but if it's not good, then it's alarm bells because that was the focus.
That's why I can't stop thinking about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm thinking about...
Of course, the obvious is Allen. Everybody thinks about
I'm
Allen.
I'm thinking about Allen.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about Allen and the weapons. Because if you were to mm-hmm. rank the Bills' line versus the Bills' weapons, the weapons come in much lower than the line. Right?
Yeah.
League-wide?
Yes.
Line,
I would say the line wasn't good.
They add a second-round pick that people expect to come in and play right away.
Yeah.
They spent
and maybe somebody else out of that mix of Spann and Feliciano and Long and all that, you could get another starter or two out of that mix.
Yeah.
I really, to me, the line is up. Maybe it's not at your obsession level with the Sabres. I don't wake up in the middle of the night wondering how the line is going to play. But, I mean, even in OTAs, like OTAs where who cares who's lined up and what's happening. It's a freaking OTA. It really doesn't mean anything. I'm thinking about the line, which guys are injured, who's starting, where are they playing, how does Dawkins look, what about the other guys. I'm going to go to training camp. I mean, obsessed with who's getting the reps, who's number one, who's number two. When are they going to pick which five guys are going to be their starters so they get some playing time together and get some reps together? I'm constantly thinking about the offensive line.
Paul texts in, McCoy gets cut, joins the Bruins, and wins the cup.
And the Conn Smythe. LeSean McCoy, come get the Conn Smythe trophy. Yeah, actually, it would be Gary Bettman getting booed, saying, and they said they didn't think LeSean McCoy could play hockey. LeSean, come get the Conn Smythe trophy. And he skates out and gets the Conn Smythe trophy.
And again, they could also take that $6 million on McCoy. And I wasn't specifically saying it has to go to the Sabres. Like, they could just spend it on a different player.
You could help the Bandits.
There you go. You could feel you could fund the entire lacrosse league.
Yeah.
Because the texter wrote in, if you want to cut McCoy just to help the Sabres, you're not a true Bills fan. Well, I don't know. They don't give out cards for true Bills fans. But the concept was, are they getting value in McCoy? And just saying, well, we don't need to be getting value in McCoy.
Well, they're not getting value based on what he's making.
For sure.
That's
the only reason I bring it up.
Oh, of course
not. I got Maurice Jones-Drew telling me he's the 22nd best running back of the number ones in football, and yet he's paid the most.
Yeah, his cap number's up there with the girlies of the world, probably.
I'm sorry, you're right. I shouldn't say the most. He was at one point getting paid the most. And he is very much near the top on that. So, you know, just something I thought of. Why is he still here? They must believe that a breakout is still coming, and that might be right. Like, it is one of the things I am keen on finding out. Does he still have it?
Yeah.
A year later, a year off, a terrible year. That probably wasn't entirely his fault.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big part of their thinking at this point. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. When we get back, we will get back to our hockey discussions, and we will be chatting with Nick Kypros from Sportsnet. We'll talk about some of the rumors out there. The Sabres are in some of the rumors, the Ristolainen stuff. That's coming up in just a moment. Plus, anytime you want to hop in, you can join us at 803-0550. Hey, bidding is underway for our WGR Celebrity Golf Tournament. Don't forget, that is coming up July 8th at Seneca Hickory Stick Golf Course in Lewiston. You can be there by, getting a winning bid. You can bid on a celebrity in your group, Danny Gare, Andrew Peters, among the celebrities up for bid, and WGR On Air hosts as well. Or you can bid on a regular foursome. You and three buddies can show up, still hang out with all the celebs, and have a fun day on the golf course. Again, it's all available for you to bid on at WGR550.com. The Celebrity Golf Tournament is presented by Dr. Beyer Optical Group. For a look that's on fire, call Dr. Beyer. Call 646-EXAM. With support from Encore Golf, Buffalo's only innovative golf ball company, and Michelob Ultra.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
That's the one that they're going to have to really hunker down on. I think goal scoring is an issue that they need to address. I think Cole Caulfield is the guy that fits there. And not that he's going to play right away, but I do think Alex DeBrick in Chicago has really paved the way for a smaller goal scoring type like Cole Caulfield. And I don't think he gets left down to 10. Probably a really good fit for Buffalo at 7.
That is Sam Constantino from Sportsnet. He was on with us earlier this week talking about the NHL draft. Cole Caulfield, one of the top American prospects. expected to go in the top 10. Maybe five guys from the U.S. national team could go in the top 10 come Friday night. We'll talk more hockey in a moment with Nick Kiprios from Sportsnet. Pierre LeBrun from TSN reporting that the Sabres in Tampa are talking once again about Rasmus Ristolainen. LeBrun says other teams are interested in the Sabres defenseman. The Sabres released their preseason schedule. We have it for you at WGR550.com. The Flyers have agreed on a new contract with Kevin Hayes. He was going to be a free agent. They traded for his rights, and now they've agreed on a seven-year, $50 million deal. NHL awards are tonight in Vegas. Rasmus Dahlin is one of the finalists for the Calder Trophy. Paul is covering the awards for us. Joe Thornton says he thinks he'll be back with the Sharks again next season. And the Sharks created some cap room by trading defenseman Justin Braun to Philadelphia for a couple of draft picks. Yanks won, Jays lost, Mets won, Bisons lost. They're home tonight at 7:05 for Wings Wednesday. And David Ortiz now upgraded to good condition after suffering the gunshot wounds in the Dominican Republic. One other note from the NBA, Kawhi Leonard, one of the big names that could be on the market this offseason, reportedly is focusing on the L.A. Clippers as a possible next destination. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 9 o'clock. You can join us at 803-0550. It is trade rumor time. We've got free agency contact period next week, UFAs, RFAs. The draft is this weekend, so we're going to the Western Hotline, and we're going to bring in Nick Kiprios, who is with Sportsnet in Canada and is joining us right now. Nick, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thank you for coming on with us today. Nick, can you hear us?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
There we go.
How are you?
Good, good. We wanted to start with some Saber stuff for you, Nick, but I definitely want to ask you about Toronto because they're a prominent team in the rumor mill. Rasmus Ristolainen, you know, there's a lot of talk about him that might be on the move from the Buffalo Sabres. What are you hearing about Ristolainen in the calls and the stuff that you're pursuing?
Well, what we heard was it was almost a foregone conclusion that he was going to get moved. You know, I think when Ralph Kruger came in, I think it slowed down the process. Now, that's not to say that eventually Buffalo will get an offer they can't refuse, but there's also this intrigue that Ristolainen's one of those young, up-and-coming stars, and not so fast. Maybe Ralph Kruger wants to see what he has first before moving forward. If I... You know, I just covered 2 weeks for Hockey Night in Canada, the St. Louis Blues in Boston, and we saw a pretty good one in Colton Parayko. And prior to all the success in St. Louis, there was some talk on whether or not this guy would ever materialize to be the player that they think. And then, sure enough, he was an absolute star and another guy worthy of a Conn Smythe in the playoffs. So I think with Ristolainen, they'll listen to offers. Moving forward, we do believe that the Buffalo Sabres are going to want to move a defenseman out, but I don't know whether it's going to be this guy by September or October.
Nick, how is Ristolainen viewed around the league? Is he considered a top two guy? Is he considered more of a 3-4 guy? What kind of value would there be for him if the Sabres decide to trade him?
Listen, he's got the potential. I mean, there's everything there that you'd want in a top two guy. There's also that mean streak that unfortunately isn't as consistent as people would like. But he is one of those special defensemen that they don't come around very often. So, you know, in saying that, there's a lot going on. Much like goaltenders, defensemen, it may take them a little longer. Still young at 24 years of age. The upside is still there to be a top defenseman. But right now, when you look at the lack of success in the organization over the last few years, you know, it's been stymied. Now, can Ralph come in and help and communicate and change all that? I think the Buffalo Sabres may be willing to take a look at that and maybe hold off on anything at this point might be knee-jerk reaction.
One last Buffalo-related question, Nick. Are you in the rumor mill out there? Are you hearing Buffalo? Any other connections, anything with the Sabres? It seems like Ristolainen is like the big hot one.
You know, I think at this point, with so much chatter and the free agency coming up in about a week and a half, I think that
Buffalo may be looking at just, you know, where do they go on the blue line? You know, could they add a great skater on the blue line? You know, with Carlson gone, that goes to the next wave. You know, Jake Gardner's here in Toronto, and everybody believes that he's now outpriced. They've got a salary cap crunch here. Can't afford to go past $5.5-6 million, and Jake Gardner will get that on the open market with his eyes closed. You know, perhaps Buffalo may be a fit, you know, pushing the puck up for the likes of Eichel and Skinner.
Did you like Gardner? I mean, it seems like by the end of his time in Toronto, if this is the end, he became kind of a whipping boy. It didn't seem like he was very popular up there. What'd you think of him?
Well, I think is 50 points is 50 points. He's an elite skater. He's an elite guy when he has the puck, and he can push the offense. In saying that, the Leafs had trouble on the blue line, and it's just not Jack. It just wasn't Jake. It was a lot of the other guys as well. Collectively, they weren't a very cohesive group with consistency. And I think if you surround him with the right people, then he can be a great asset moving forward.
The Leafs are an interesting discussion on their own, Nick, with everything going on. So with what's going on with Marner, part one, and part two, what do the Leafs end up doing with all their RFAs? How do they make all this stuff work?
Well, just to touch on Marner first, doesn't seem to be progressing to the point where anything's imminent. We believe that there's a long-term deal in the vicinity of 8 years on the table. We believe that it would fall into the Jack Eichel contract of around $10 million. There's short-term deals, I think, available as a bridge deal. But, you know, was the precedent set with Austin Matthews at 5 years? And certainly with an AAV just underneath Connor McDavid, that's the Cadillac, right, that Marner may be looking at. So between $10 million and somewhere there, is there a number to be had with the term? I think they're battling it out right now. But in the meantime, you know, there's also the threat that perhaps there might be an offer sheet out there. I'm of the belief of I want to see it to believe it. But there's some that suggest that there will be teams willing to take a run at Mitch Marner. Only time will tell.
What about beyond Marner? There is a lot of, like you just said, I know, you know, I'm closer to you with the believe it when I see it, but there's more talk this year about offer sheets than in recent years, and there really is an outstanding group of RFAs available. What about beyond Marner and the idea of other offer sheets?
Well, again, it all depends on your circumstance and who can afford it, who can't afford it, who's painted into a corner. We just saw Jacob Trouba go, and the value you wouldn't think is apples to apples. But Winnipeg was in a cash crunch. They got to get other guys signed. Patrick Laine, of course, and also Josh Morrissey, who could put himself up there around $6 or $7 million, maybe even north of that. Who knows? But it all depends on the pressure points, and the Leafs have pressure points. They got two young stars, up-and-coming stars in Kapanen and Johnsson, who are RFAs. And for now, the Leafs and Kyle Dubas, the general manager in Toronto, they've got to find a way to shed salary. That means getting rid of the last year on Patrick Marleau's deal. And Zaitsev's also another guy who they signed on a long-term deal, and if I'm not mistaken, has, I think, 4 or 5 more years at $4.5 million. Hey, there's teams that are willing to take these players, but not at that price. So it's a matter of now what the Leafs have to do to sweeten the pot to take teams, to get teams to take these guys off their hands. And that's where they're at. Until they start moving salary, it's going to be very difficult for the Leafs moving forward, because even that RFAs,
Those the price of poker for RFAs. I know you guys got Reinhardt done at over $3 million, but now to get Kapanen and Johnsen down, it's up towards $5 million now on a new deal.
Nick Kypreos wrapping up with us here from Sportsnet. Nick, does Taylor Hall get traded? Does New Jersey even consider doing that?
Well, they got another year, and there's no rush. I don't think that they want to trade him. I think he's part of the solution. And a year ago, MVP in the league. So he's in a strong position where he's got another year to work it out. But I would believe that ownership group would want to try to get him signed the first chance that they get.
And lastly, when we get to the UFA signing period, any thoughts on where you think? I know a lot of stuff about Panarin at the deadline was about Florida. Any thoughts on where Panarin and maybe Duchesne end up?
Duchesne, there's been an interest on Duchesne the last few years out of Nashville, and I don't think it's gone down or wavered. But there seems to be that Nashville and Montreal would be the front runners on Matt Duchesne. And judging by what Buffalo just gave Skinner, you got to think that price tag would now fall around $9 or $10 million a year moving forward. As far as Panarin is concerned, we all still believe that Florida will have the inside track there. You factor in state tax and 80-degree weather. I don't even think the Rangers could match something like that. But no question that he had a good season. He's a star, and that one will be well north of $10 million a year.
Nick Kypreos joining us from Sportsnet. Nick, thank you. I know it's a busy week. We appreciate you giving us some time this morning.
Okay, guys. Have a great one and enjoy the next few weeks.
Will do. You too. Thank you. A lot of hockey talk going on with the draft coming up this weekend. And UFA contact period opens 23rd. Jeremy's mind is on the RFA contact period that opens a week from today, the 26th. So we'll see if anything comes from that with offer sheets and the like. We're going to talk more hockey coming up. A little bit more about the draft, actually, at the top of the hour. Kyle Woodleaf will join us from Redline Report. Draft is Friday and Saturday. And then at 9:30, we'll pursue the Tampa story a little bit more. The Ristolainen and Lightning stuff that was there at the trade deadline is back again. Brian Engblom will join us. He is on the Lightning telecast. He's actually their analyst on their TV games. So we'll talk to him about Risto, get his thoughts on that, who might be available in Tampa. Would they part with Sergachev? We'll explore that coming up at 9:30. We have draft coverage this weekend here on WGR. So round one will be Friday night from Vancouver, and our coverage will be from 7 to 11. Brayton is going to host with Joe DiBiase, and Paul Hamilton will be in Vancouver to cover the draft from there. Rounds 2 through 7 will be Saturday. You can check out our coverage beginning at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. Again, Brayton and Joe here, and Paul from British Columbia. Coverage of the NFL draft and free agency, which is coming up as well on WGR, is brought to you by Fiegel & Carr, your Porter attorneys, by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That he was going to get moved. I think when Ralph Kruger came in, I think it slowed down the process. Now, that's not to say that eventually Buffalo will get an offer they can't refuse, but there's also this intrigue that Ristolainen is one of those young up-and-coming stars and not so fast. Maybe Ralph Kruger wants to see what he has first before moving forward.
Nick Kiprasz from Sportsnet was just on with us here. If you missed the conversation, we'll put it up in on-demand audio at WGR550.com.
There was a brief rumor about Tampa. I got to find it. Somebody send it to me. Where someone wrote on a Tampa board about trading Sergachev for Risto. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then someone else in Tampa wrote, oh my God, no, yeah. Let's not do that.
It's funny. I was just reading a piece from, it was probably a month or so ago, about Sergachev and about how the talk down there is, what is his role going to be next season? And one of the possibilities was, this was before Trouba was traded, this was before Carlson signed. So the article was, could the Lightning make a run at Carlson and play him on a top pairing with Hedman, or would they trade for Trouba? Okay, both those options are off the table. But one of the things they mentioned, and by the way, Pierre LeBrun said in his story about the Sabres talking to Tampa, again, LeBrun did say, if I'm the Sabres, I'm asking about Sergachev in the conversation with the Ristolainen trade. But in this story, they're talking about Sergachev as maybe being alongside Hedman this season. Like, they're reshaping their blue line. Strahlman's a free agent. Girardi's a free agent. They re-signed Coburn. But they're talking about the idea of Sergachev maybe being with Hedman.
Have you seen LeBrun suggest that the Blue Jackets have legit interest in Ristolainen as well?
I've not seen that one. Okay.
The name from Columbus to watch or be nervous about. You could be nervous. Or it could pay off. He had a bad year, but I first heard it from the super secret saver. Source was Wenberg. Alexander.
He did have a bad. His numbers really fell off.
He did not score at all. He just signed a contract. Wenberg did. He scored 2 goals last year.
Yeah.
And this is fresh off a contract. He had 59 points at age 22. And then kind of fell off.
We talked about him at the trade deadline. Do you recall?
The story
it was a story about the zone starts and how his role had changed and what they were doing.
His usage changed. His role changed. Couple that with last year, he shot 3%.
Oh, okay.
His career shooting percent is 8%. So he had a terrible year.
Mm-hmm.
He's on a contract. Let me find his contract. But I wonder if, you know, you want to go center to take away from Middlestat minutes from Middlestat.
Right.
Maybe it's Wenberg. I don't know. I mean, he did not have a good year. And he is term, and that's the kind of thing where you just it would make people nervous, but there would be a...
Well, you'd wonder what happened. Why the drop-off? Like, what were some of the issues tied into last season and his performance? Because it almost seems like they said, we're going to maybe give you a little bit more responsibility. We won't worry about protecting your minutes and where your zone. We're going to give you a little more chance. And he went down to, 2 goals in 23.
2 goals, but his fancy numbers are not that bad.
Okay.
It would have been an improvement over Middlestat. So
He's peaked at 13 goals.
There's your name from Columbus. Who else from Columbus could you be? If Columbus is interested in Ristolainen, and you're calling them,
I suppose they won't give us Pierre-Luc Dubois.
I have no idea. I mean, they've got Cam Atkinson, 6 years.
You already got his jersey.
Dubinsky, full no move. Wenberg, 4 years, less than $5 million per year. He's 24 years old. Past that, you know what, Oliver Bjorkstrand?
That'd be a nice ad.
You toss in the rights to Dzingel, and you try to negotiate
with
him.
There's a guy who could help you in the middle.
I don't know.
The one thing I guess I would hang my hat on is what Wenberg did 2 years ago. And it's not as much. 13 goals is not a great number. He did have 46 assists. You know, I mean, he's setting people up 2 years ago.
He's been a pass-first guy.
Yeah.
And off that 59-point season, he signed for good money for less than 5 for 4 years.
And you at the time, if you're Columbus, I'm thinking you look at that and go, 59 points, he's going to go up from here. That's good value. You've got a young player at $5 million a year, which is not a big number when we're sitting here talking about Kevin Hayes getting 7 a year off a 55-point campaign. Yeah, that would make me nervous, though. Like, what the heck happened? Why did his last 2 years, he went from the high of 59, then he went down to 35 last year, and then he went down to 25 this year in 75 games.
On the fancy stat stuff, I don't really understand all of it. I don't really get all of it. I don't know how to use it all, but I trust it.
Yeah.
I just trust it. I think it's probably right.
Wonder how much the Sabres do.
When you talk about almost any industry,
mm-hmm.
analytics and extensive data is what runs the business. And, you know, some people just kind of resent the idea that you would just look at the fancy stats, but I have a ton of respect for it, and I have guys on Like, where does my – it's kind of like the draft, right? I am not a football scout. I don't claim to be a football scout. I watch these games. I watch college, and I think, that guy looked pretty good, and that guy looked pretty bad, mm-hmm. and that guy looked – and who do I want to draft? I'm gonna kind of go with the consensus because the studies are, the information is that nobody beats the draft. You're more likely to be a good player if you're drafted the first round than the second than the third, on and on and on.
Yep.
And these guys get it wrong all the time. There are inherent biases built into how you watch sports, whatever. Everybody's got them. So I just have a lot of respect for it. I trust it and, you know, could risk the line and turn it around and be a good player for some other team. Maybe, but most of the evidence seems to indicate he's part of what's wrong with the Sabres. So I don't fear at all him going somewhere and being successful. Ryan O'Reilly did not have that reputation as being something that was wrong with the Sabres.
If it was, on the it was ice. More of an off-ice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's totally different. On the ice, Risto seems to be part of the problem, at least according to people that do this all the time, except for the old school hockey that thinks that a big, tall, strong,
physical defenseman
playing with edge, right shot defenseman is super valuable. I go, okay, I respect the other part of it more.
Let's sneak in a break. We'll talk more about this in the next hour. We'll talk a little bit about the draft with Kyle Woodleaf. We'll talk about Tampa, maybe the Ristolainen trade there with Brian Engblom at 9:30. Coming up, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.